Fogden's thing?
I believe so.
Cool. I will probably see you there then.
I don't know. What's he doing?
I have no idea.
By the way, I've started recording. So.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't know. I'll
dinner or drinks. Up. I think he said.
Okay, cool. I was speaking to I don't know if anyone's mentioned this already, but I was speaking to Ant at the weekend. It's quite harsh because obviously because of the postponements, he's not going to have another Palace game before he goes.
Ooh.
That's true. 1st of October is the next one, isn't it? The Palace.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like 3 weeks without Prem for some teams.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Then we're talk about how much we hate the royal family on the podcast.
We can do it in code. We can talk about Targaryen royal family if you want.
God save the king, that's what I'm saying. No, I don't like it, you know. It doesn't have the same ring.
No, it doesn't. It's weird. Valar Morghulis and all that.
Probably won't see another queen in our lifetime as well.
No, probably not, to be fair.
Not for a few generations.
Yeah.
Because you've got, Billiam and then...
We might see potentially, three kings in our lifetime.
Yeah. I can't imagine they're all going to get to 96.
Charles, William. William? No. Yeah, William and George. Then George.
What he needs to do is name
William
now.
William's what, in his 40s?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I make it to like 80,
yeah, you might be right. I reckon Williams would advocate to George when George is of good age to do it.
Anyway,
Right. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Your Average Critics. It's been a while. Well, it feels like a while. So welcome back, Obi and Chris. Hope you're both well.
Yeah, right. Thanks.
Alive and well.
Yourself?
Good. Yeah. Not too bad, thank you. So there's probably a fair amount to catch up on, both on the small screen and the big. But let's start with D23. So following some pretty big announcements at Comic-Con, where Marvel announced both Avengers, the Kang Dynasty, and Avengers Secret War. There was some anticipation that D23 would be bigger and better and give us all sorts of juicy details that...
Glenn?
Yes.
Sorry, maybe. Before you get into it, I just want to make a little point. Because I know people, I've seen people on the internet, slagging off DC fandom and stuff like that and saying, obviously when they said this year they're not going to have it, people were saying, oh, it was shit anyway, blah, blah, blah. In my opinion, DC fandom, both of the ones that I watched, 10 times better than this D23. For a start, they actually stream it so we can actually watch along with it when they announce stuff, which is good. Obviously, D23, I don't know if they streamed it live, but it was just the way I kind of found it, it was just by a series of tweets. And I think the way that DC has done primarily a fan event, which D23 is a fan event, they've let a whole globe of people watch it. And Disney aren't very good at doing that. I think they did. Not Comic-Con, but the one they did maybe last year in December. Again, that was all I think it was similar to this, but not quite. That was, again, a bunch of tweets. And it's very interactive, and it's a bit I don't know, it's a bit shit. It's a fan experience. Just wanted to put that out there before you continue.
The difference might be because that Marvel is so large and has done so well that people make their way to watching it, whereas DC are less... because they haven't got as much publicity in the recent years... that they're then pushing it out to more people so they can reach a bigger audience. That's all I'm thinking, but I do agree with you. They should, Marvel, respect their audience because we are the people who are essentially front-running their paychecks. So.
Well, yeah, and I think something just... And again, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know, Glenn, did you have were you able to watch it or were you going by tweets and stuff?
I was going by tweets, but I didn't really seek out... I wouldn't have watched it anyway, to be honest, because all I care about are the announcements, not all the preamble.
It was on YouTube, and I was like, I started it, and I was like, nah, don't care.
They did stream it then.
I don't know if they streamed it, but it's certainly on YouTube. I'll check now.
But they also show certain things that are just for the people that are there. So they wouldn't live stream everything because there was footage from the Marvels that is not currently available widely. And another thing that was Ant-Man and Quantumania. So
and that's fine because obviously I don't mind that because people pay to be there. So obviously for it to be worth it, they get exclusive stuff. That's absolutely fine. But I just think as a fan experience would be better. Because when I was looking, I couldn't see anything. I looked very briefly, but I couldn't find like a live link or anything like that. So I could be completely wrong, but yeah.
I don't think I didn't see a live link. I just saw maybe an after thing where they're like, oh, here's what happened. Mm. And then you probably have whoever the big head honcho's name is, he pipes up the name.
But yeah, I mean, even if there was a live stream, the fact that you couldn't find it easily is an indictment in itself, I guess.
Mate, if the Champions League final can do it, flipping Disney can do it, mate. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Imagine if Disney brought out like the cast on one of those little cars that brings out the ball for the Champions League. That'd be a good crossover.
What the hell are you even talking about, mate?
You never seen one of those tiny little...
I know what you're talking about. I was trying to link the two,
but hey-ho. you've had 3 weeks about my bullshit, so you're probably not used to it. Okay, well, yeah, there was a lot of fan-led anticipation for this, and... recent years have not been kind to fan anticipatory details. We had Mephisto confirmed for WandaVision that wasn't confirmed, and all sorts of things.
Wait, why did you have Mephisto? No, I swear you guys just made up and assumed stuff. There was no Mephisto confirmed, was there?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying, is that the fans, I was using that Mephisto confirmed like sarcastically, because fans read very deeply into these things and like crave so much, whether it's detail or characters or whatever, that they build these things up in their head that have never been confirmed by Marvel or, you know, properly suggested, and then we get annoyed when they don't happen. And the same is true for D23. You know, there were some big announcements at Comic Con, and so everybody just assumed that at their own fan event there would be bigger and better, and people were saying, oh, we'll get Fantastic Four casting and we'll get Deadpool 3 confirmation and a Scarlet Witch solo announcement or something like that, you know, filling in all the gaps that
I am shocked we didn't get the former two, to be fair.
Yeah, I am a little bit surprised as well. I think, you know, after Comic-Con, there are clear gaps in the schedule, the release schedule.
Matt, give it 20 years and we won't have no more of this MCU. We signed new.
Yeah, maybe. But I think, you know, maybe it was just too soon after Comic-Con for them to do a whole other load of announcements. I guess we've still got a few films to come out before they'll probably start announcing more stuff. So after Black Panther and Ant-Man 3, you know, maybe around Christmas time they'll give us more info. But let's talk about what they did announce, and then we can maybe talk about what
Secret
they
didn't. Secret Wars. Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion.
Yeah, so there was a trailer for Secret Invasion, which is a Disney Plus show. It's got the Skrulls in. It's got Nick Fury, Samuel Jackson. It's got Kobe Smulders as Maria Hill. It's got Daenerys Targaryen, and it's got Ben Mendelsohn as Talos. So yeah, little teaser trailer. Nick, where Agent Hill says, "I've been trying to contact you, and you've been ignoring me. You've been off world for a while." He comes back. There's some sort of threat that you know, he thinks is worth him investigating. We don't really know who Emilia Clarke's character is yet, but Talos, who's a Skrull, is working with Nick Fury. I guess from the comics we presume that certain characters or high ranking people have been Skrulls all along. So are Skrulls going to be the bad guys of this series? I don't know, but yeah, what did you think of the very brief trailer we got?
I like the trailer. I think it's got like a, it's definitely like, even though there is technically involving aliens, I got like a more grounded vibe. Like, I think they described it as kind of like a spy thriller kind of thing. So kind of like in the vein of like Winter Soldier, that kind of thing. And that's the vibe that I got from the trailer. I think the music was pretty on the nose with that as well, like kind of nailing that vibe. Happy to see Nick Fury again, because he's been absent for a little bit. I just think it looks cool. I like this little scene where I can't remember who's talking, but one of them's talking to one politician, I guess, and then they all turn into him, and I thought that was pretty cool. I'm assuming that these are like the evil batch of Skrulls who are kind of like trying to take over the world or whatever, or I don't know, something like that. And obviously Ben Mendelsohn's one of the good ones. I think it looks pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping we get like a couple of surprises as well. I hope this isn't just like a straightforward series. I hope it kind of actually, you know.
Then you find out Iron Man was really a Skrull and the real Iron Man's still alive.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a, you know, again, it's probably we're going to overhype ourselves and be disappointed, but there's a definite possibility that certain characters we've already seen are Skrulls. Nick Fury was a Skrull in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Maybe that police guy was a Skrull as well. Who's always investigating maybe Head of S.W.O.R.D. or the geezer who was interrogating Spider-Man and co. and Miss Marvel and friends.
The damage control guy.
Because he just seems very out to get everyone, and I feel like if you can take the place of superheroes, then you pretty much control a happier time of people being on your side kind of thing.
Do you reckon if a Skrull transforms into someone, they can assume their powers? I imagine not.
I wouldn't have thought so. I feel like we would have seen that or some remnants of that in Captain Marvel.
Yeah, true.
I didn't know Olivia Colman was in this as well. That's interesting. I like that.
Olivia Colman.
She's very good, isn't she?
Yeah.
Olivia Colman.
She was in Broadchurch, The Favourite. She was the Queen in The Crown, the most recent.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. None of those helped me, but yeah, I know the one you're talking
about. Fair enough.
I just searched her.
When was the last time we saw Nick Fury then? Because when I heard that line about, oh, I've been trying to contact you and you've been off-world for a while, I was like...
We saw him off-world at the end of Spider-Man, didn't we?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if it was actual Nick Fury, but he was at Tony's funeral in Endgame, wasn't he?
I don't think that was actually him.
Fair enough. But we haven't seen Maria Hill since then, have we? So, like, I'm wondering what are these threats that maybe she's been trying to contact him about,
wasn't she a Skrull as well in Spider-Man?
That's what don't make sense to me, because in Spider-Man I'm pretty sure she was a Skrull, unless she's talking about threats, like, because obviously time frames are all skewed, aren't they? So was WandaVision before or after? I'm assuming it was
WandaVision was after Endgame.
Yeah, WandaVision was after. Yeah,
yeah, but was it after Spider-Man? Wait, which Spider-Man was it?
That's a good question, actually.
Far From Home, not No Way Home.
Yep.
The one with Jake Gyllenhaal as Rey Mysterio.
Was it?
Yes. But that Far From Home is after the blip, because they talk about some of the children have now become teenagers in, you know, because they weren't blipped. So that's presumably after Endgame. That's the last time we saw Nick Fury, we presume.
And then was that Nick Fury who got blipped? Because that still hasn't been answered to us. Was that our Maria Hill and Nick Fury, or was that?
It's not clear, is it?
Well, no. The Nick Fury in Infinity War called Captain Marvel, didn't he? So I presume that's the real Nick Fury, unless a Skrull version knew of that device and to contact.
But the Skrull version did know, didn't? Because the Skrull version was there when we met Captain Marvel.
Was he there when he gave her the device?
I don't know, but it seems that him and Nick Fury are best of buds if he's taken place of Nick Fury.
Yeah, it's a good question, because obviously Nick Fury was using the Skrull was kind of like he couldn't be asked to come down. So we don't really know when we saw the real Nick Fury, in quotes. Yeah. But I guess that's part of the paranoia, which is quite interesting in terms of like the thriller aspect of who. But my question is, that line of dialogue, unless they explore it in the series, which to be fair they might, to me doesn't make any sense, because since Far From Home, we've obviously had No Way Home, and not in this order, Doctor Strange, Shang-Chi, Eternals, chronologically, but none of them have Maria Hill in, so, you know, if she was in those films being like, what the fuck's Fury, then maybe we'd understand it, but I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just hoping to get, I hope we get a bit of dialogue just to really explain, like, kind of when they swapped, basically, when they swapped over.
She literally, she was like, dear Nick, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling.
I swear to God, if you make that joke again, I'm going to lose my mind. I swear you made that joke the other day. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
I can't remember either. It's really annoying.
It's an olden but a golden. Yes. So Secret Wars, not to be confused with Secret Invasion, or maybe it will be, I don't know.
Other way around, is it?
Yeah, this is Secret Invasion, sorry. Yeah, see, even I'm getting confused. other announcements. So we've got the leader, played by Tim Blake Nelson, coming back from the doldrums and basement of Marvel's archives. Maybe they're slowly getting the rights back to these characters, or maybe they just remembered that they had them. So he was last seen in The Incredible Hulk, and we've since had Abomination back a couple of times, and we've had Thunderbolt Ross, and now we've got Leader. So he will be the villain for Captain America 4, Captain America New World Order, which is...
Wait, who's the villain? Who did you say at the beginning?
The Leader.
Leader.
Oh.
I can't remember anything from Incredible Hulk, you know.
No, me neither. So Captain America New World Order. Obviously, that's Anthony Mackie's first solo outing as Captain America. Isaiah Bradley is coming back, as well as Danny Ramirez. So that's good. Obviously, reprising their roles from Falcon and Winter Soldier. Hopefully, we'll get to explore a bit more of Bradley's backstory.
That'd be cool. I think, so is Danny Ramirez is going to be the new Falcon, right?
I think that's the assumption, yeah.
That'd be cool. I like him.
Yeah.
Well, I've liked him in other stuff that I've seen.
Any strong thoughts on Leader being the one of the villain or one of the villains?
I can't remember anything about him, so no. Not really.
There's people suggesting that because he's from a Hulk film, he could be bringing in Red Hulk. I don't know.
Remind me who or what Red Hulk is, please.
Red Hulk is Thunderbolt Ross.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But probably not going to happen then, because the actor.
Well, yeah. Unless they recast.
They could do. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, people are assuming that Red Hulk should be in the lineup for the Thunderbolts. We got the announcement of the Thunderbolts, which, as it stands, are a collection of misfit characters that some of whom we probably didn't care to see again. We've got Bucky Barnes, Yelena, Yelena Belova, butchered that. US agent, what's David Harbour's character called?
Red Guardian.
Red Guardian, that's it, thank you. Taskmaster, well, she's mental. Back. Ghost, remember her?
Mental.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Actually, let me not say what I was going to say. Never mind. Continue.
Okay. And Valentina DeFontaine, who presumably going to be the Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
This Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Can I say quickly, although I like this team is weird because I like all the characters they've put into this team. So I'm looking forward to the interactions. However, having Red Guardian, Bucky, US agent, and even Taskmaster feels a bit redundant having all of them in one team, because they're kind of similar to each other. Maybe not Taskmaster, but the other three all pretty similar.
Yeah, but I mean,
very secret agent, tough person, team up, isn't it?
Yeah, none of them, really none of them have like power. Exactly, they're all just like super strong or good at martial arts.
Yeah, the only one that has a superpower that I can think of
is Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I don't mind that them putting like team together because this is basically like a Suicide Squad of sorts. Mm. But although, I think it'd go on, Chris. Sorry.
No, go on, Karen.
I would say I think it would be a bit more interesting if there was a bit of variety of the powers, really, or the special skills, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think they're missing someone though? Do you feel like they're on purposely not bringing everyone into it?
I heard Zemo was going to be in this. To be fair.
Yeah, that was rumored. No, he's alive in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Isn't he?
Yeah, I
think so. Oh, yeah, they bust up Thingy's arm, didn't they?
Of these characters, three of them are from the Falcon and Winter Soldier, and three of them are from the Black Widow film.
Mm.
So there isn't a lot of variety there. It kind of feels to me like they're just using characters again that they have used before. Bucky Barnes seems like a strange choice for this. I don't mind it. So are these supposed to be like anti-heroes, or because not all of them are fully redeemed, maybe particularly US Agent?
I think the majority of them you would label them with anti-hero, to be fair, because even Bucky, even though he, I guess he's an Avenger or whatever, but obviously he used to go around killing people non-stop, so I think you pretty much say the same for most of the people on that team.
I mean, I will obviously wait to see what it's like, but it's not filling me with tons of inspiration at the moment.
I feel like that film will be better than I expect it to be. Or that it'll be better than it appears, I think. But I'm wondering, do we know who's directing that film?
I don't think there was any announcement on that. The only directorial announcement that they confirmed at D23 was Matt Shackman to direct Fantastic Four, but no casting news.
And when's Fantastic Four due to come out?
2024, I think.
I thought they would have had something going on. Fair enough.
Yeah. It does seem strange to me that they didn't announce more projects. The only thing that they actually announced that we didn't know, and actually we did know because it was an open secret, was Werewolf by Night.
Yeah.
Which
what the fuck is that?
It's a Halloween kind of special,
I guess. Special, yeah. It's like a Marvel special presentation, I think it's labelled it.
Yeah. Directed by first-time director Michael Giacchino. Giacchino, sorry.
He normally does the scores, doesn't he?
Yes.
Hmm.
I quite liked the trailer for that. It was black and white. It was very 1970s kind of universal horror style. Yeah,
very old school. Did you guys notice the TVA agents in it?
No, not initially, but I watched a like breakdown of it.
That's cheating, mate.
I have to come semi-informed to these podcasts. But yeah, carry on, Obi. So TVA.
No, I was gonna say I wonder what they're up to in the whole situation of it.
Yeah, because I mean, the kind of style of it makes it look quite old school, but we don't know when it's set. Again, I think Werewolf by Night has links in the comics to Moon Knight and Blade. I'm not going to pin my hopes on either of them appearing, but we did see Man-Thing, brief glimpse of him. I quite liked the departure in style. I'm interested to see what it's going to be like.
I think it's coming out next month, right?
Yes.
That's got to be the quickest like official announcement to release like that Marvel ever done in recent years.
It's really strange considering I think certain accounts were tweeting about it months ago, but you know, Marvel were doing their thing. Looking forward to that. They announced that a character called Sabra will be making her MCU debut in Captain America New World Order, played by Israeli actress Shira Haas. Sabra is an Israeli superhero. So
cool.
Yep. Cool. Other announcements. They confirmed Vincent D'Onofrio for both Echo and Daredevil Born Again. Well, it was kind of...
It was the most obvious thing ever that he went dead.
Yeah, and then obviously Charlie Cox is going to be Daredevil. But other than that, there wasn't much announced.
I was going to say that in Secret Invasion, wasn't the lady who was in... the lady who's in Luke Cage, wasn't she in that trailer?
Which lady?
The one with the metal arm.
Oh, Misty. I don't know. I didn't know. Didn't notice.
Or am I just adding 1, 2, and 2 and getting 25?
Maybe. Let me. I didn't notice her, but maybe she was.
They also announced the casting of Kei-Hee Kwan to Loki season 2. He was most recently seen in Everything Everywhere All at Once, so it's nice that he's got another gig shortly after that. I think they showed some footage from Loki season 2, but not to us. I think that's pretty much all of the major announcements. Any glaring omissions that you would have presumed that they'd have announced?
So like you said, yeah, Fantastic Four stuff. I was a bit surprised. I was a bit surprised they didn't say anything about Blade either, because I feel like all we know about Blade is I think we have a date and I think we have a director and Mahershala Ali's in it, but don't know anything else about it. So
yeah,
I'm surprised.
I feel like post Ant-Man. Is Ant-Man the last? No, the Marvels. Post the Marvels. Not really sure what's going on.
Yeah.
They've got titles, but not much else. I mean, we've got a date for next winter for Agatha Coven of Chaos or whatever it's called. But again, not really any details on that. And presumably some of these things are going to have to start production soon enough. So, yeah, seems a bit odd, but...
Mm.
Again, we've got to trust them, I guess. But yeah, I mean, Blade doesn't even have its own fucking Wikipedia page.
Chris, that's not her, by the way, so.
Is it not?
No.
My bad.
This at least slightly older.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Is she even returning, actually? Don't even know.
I've not heard anything about that. Sorry, good.
That's all right. So we've got Ant-Man. So we've got Black Panther in November. These are the films. Then we've got Ant-Man in February, which we still had no trailer for. Presumably we'll see one either with Black Panther or shortly after.
Mm.
And then we've got Guardians 3 on the 5th of May, which by James Gunn's recent tweets, I think he's still editing. So we'll probably get a trailer for that around Ant-Man. And then The Marvels in July 28th, 2023. Blade, November 3rd, 2023. So we're almost a year out from Blade.
Mm.
And presumably they've started filming it?
I don't think they have. Because I feel like we would have heard something about who's in it by now if they started filming already. Like you say, they don't even have a Wikipedia page yet.
Yeah, it does seem strange. Maybe it's going to be quite a contained film in that, you know, maybe it doesn't need a massively long shoot. But, you know, Mahershala Ali was announced in February 2020?
Maybe 2020, I'm not sure, but yeah.
We've got a director, we've got a writer, we've got a star. Let's maybe give us a bit more details. We actually probably know more about Captain America New World Order than we do about Blade.
Yeah.
So, strange. Anyway, we will see what they do with that. But
what do you care about the most?
Of what they announced?
The two you just said, and I guess what they announced.
It's a good question.
I'm probably most interested in Secret Invasion, but that's based on very few details. I like the announcement they did about Captain America 4.
I think Secret Invasion as well. If that's
because I'm really not getting, I'm not really getting pumped about. What's it called? What do they call it in Marvel? Stage 4? What was it? Phase 4?
This is Phase 5.
Is it?
Yeah, Phase 4.
Phase 4 ends with Black Panther.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Short phase. But, yeah. I think they also, someone was tweeting a rough synopsis of what they saw from the Marvels. Apparently, it picks up immediately at the post-credit scene of Ms. Marvel, and involves essentially the Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, and Photon, Monica Rambeau, essentially like swapping places every time they use their powers, and then have to kind of figure out a way to stop doing that. Which I'm sure there's more to it.
I wonder what causes that then.
Yeah, I don't know. A glitch in the Matrix, a wrinkle in time.
Maybe an imbalance within the Marvel Miss Marvel, because she's only got one bangle.
Could be an incursion, maybe. But yeah, so that was the Marvel announcements. In terms of other announcements, was there anything you kind of picked up on from Star Wars or Fox, you know, 20th Century Studios, and the animation?
Aren't they potentially sacking off some of the Star Wars series they're thinking about making? Like Old Republic?
Yeah, I think they announced that a little while back, actually, that they weren't going ahead with that.
Oh, really? Oh, my bad then.
Yeah, I think whatever the last announcement thing they did, I think they said they weren't doing that. Because they announced like 3 or 4 spin-offs of The Mandalorian, I think, at the time. Ahsoka being one of them. But the other one was, it was the New Republic one. And then there was one supposed to be with Gina Carano's character. And obviously, she got fired, so they scrapped that. And they scrapped the other one as well. But we got a trailer for Season 3 of The Mandalorian, which I thought was pretty cool. Let's say he's going back to... So it looks like he's basically taking place like right after where we saw him in Boba Fett, which would be quite confusing for people who don't watch Boba Fett and go straight to this. But anyway... it looks like he's going to Mandalore, I guess, to regain his honour, I guess, or something. I don't know. But it looks cool.
Puts him in conflict with Bo-Katan.
Yeah, there's a lot of Mandalorians. You've got Bo-Katan, like, talking to Grogu, saying, did you think he was the only Mandalorian? You see loads of them dropping out of the sky and stuff. Yeah. Looks interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there was some other animated Star Wars stuff announced, I think, but I think
that's going to be interesting as well, I think, because that's more like origins of some people, I think.
I was just going to say, I think they said Mandalorian was coming out next winter.
I believe it's coming out in February 2023. No, I think it's coming out in February 2023.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what they meant by, I guess February still is winter. I think I saw something out winter and then 2023, and I was like, what? This stuff normally comes out in December. So, but yeah, okay, that's only a couple of months delay. Yeah, what were you going to say, Adrian?
I was going to say, not about The Mandalorian, but about other Star Wars projects. Did you see the... okay, so there's a couple, actually. But the first one, there was a still of Jude Law and for the... Skeleton Crew, that's it. The new show they're putting out. I don't know why, but I completely thought that was going to be like an animated thing. So I was really surprised when I saw like Jude Law's actual face. I'm looking forward to that. And that was apparently about like a group of kids who, I don't know, fall into the Star Wars universe or some stupid shit like that. I don't know. But sounds interesting. I'm looking forward to that. And then we got another teaser for Andor, which starts in a few weeks, which I'm looking forward to as well.
That's good.
Oh yeah, it looks really good. It looks, I think they were saying that even just visually, I think they said this is in this Star Wars project they didn't use the volume thing that they've been using for like all the other projects, for Obi-Wan and The Mandalorian and stuff, and Boba Fett. So they were actually like shooting on location for this series, and you can tell, to be honest, when you're watching the trailer, actually, like in terms of like cinematography, I guess it looked really similar to like Rogue One, which I think is definitely one of the best Star Wars films to look at, like visually.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That looks really like grounded and gritty and stuff. And yeah, I like Cassian Andor, so I think that'll be good. Surprise, it's 12 episodes though. That's interesting. I wonder why they decided to make this 12 episodes and not like Obi-Wan.
Well, yeah, so I've heard that they basically said Andor is going to be a 2-season and done, and then that will lead into the beginning of Rogue One, and this will be 12 and the next one will be 12. So
right.
Yeah, I mean, they seem of to course. Be a bit more free-flowing with their episode lengths now. Obviously, Daredevil would be 18 episodes, which is basically an American kind of...
Yeah, that's bonkers.
You know, CW-type thing. Yeah. I mean, it's going to take them a fucking age to film, surely. But,
are they, what, they bringing out one a week?
Yeah, Andor looks good.
For, well, we don't know yet for Daredevil. We were talking about Daredevil. But not sure. Obviously, for Andor, I think they're bringing out 3 episodes all at once, aren't they? And then I'm assuming it's weekly after that.
And how long's that? 6 or 8 episodes?
12.
Damn! Pushing the boat out with 12 episodes. Look at them. They're growing up.
We have Saw Gerrera back. Yeah, man. Big Forest Lurking. He's back. The spirit of the Black Panther is back. Oh, sorry. The wrong fan job.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in the trailer.
I'm actually not watching the trailers because I don't want to. I don't want to spoil anything. I like to have something a bit surprised with it all.
That's a good way to look.
Yeah, I understand that.
I can't. I have no time to do that, but that's a good way to do it.
I draw the line at trailers for episodes. I think that's too far.
Yeah,
same. That's ridiculous. Like, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Same.
There's a so not only was there was a mid-season trailer for She-Hulk for the rest of the episodes, which is fucking ridiculous. And there's a trailer for the 5th episode of House of Dragon. It's like, well, it only comes out in 6 days, so...
I'd be just... like, why?
Yeah, they do trailers for every episode, don't they? House of Dragon. Again, I think... Well, I don't know. I just find it quite strange. Like, I can wait a week. Like, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And also, sorry, just a slight tangent. We watch Made in Chelsea for our sins, and... not only do they do a previously on, they also do a coming up. So before the episode you're about to watch, they show you highlights of what you're going to watch. What's the point of that?
I'm trying to think who else does that. I think when I used to watch Geordie Shore, they used to do that as well.
Just, I mean, I'm already there to watch the show. You don't need to entice me to stay for the rest of it, but... Anyway, that was a tangent. You were going to say something, Obi.
No, I was just going to say to round off the Lucasfilm or the Star Wars content, there was an announcement that Bad Batch Season 2 is coming out in January. I still haven't finished Season 1, but I feel like I need to watch Clone Wars and then I'll move on and then I'll finish the Bad Batch. Chris, I don't know if you started the Bad Batch yet. Or...
I did start the Bad Batch. I haven't quite got round to continuing where I left off. I think I was 4 episodes in.
Okay.
There's so much stuff going on at the moment. It's literally it's crazy, like bottom of my pile right now.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, they're like the first season, 16 episodes. Second season, also 16 episodes. I'm like, it doesn't need to be this long. Like, make it 10.
Yeah. I complain about seasons being too short, but this one's probably one of the ones that could do with a little bit of a tweak to.
For sure.
How much they could bring it down.
Definitely. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about was... they did like a little trailer for Tales of the Jedi, which is, I think, a 6-episode like series of shorts, three of them focusing on Ahsoka Tano and three of them focus on Count Dooku. I don't know if either of you watched the trailer for it, but it actually looked pretty interesting. Just kind of like... Maybe not Ahsoka as much, because she's like all throughout the Clone Wars and throughout Rebels, but for... Count Dooku, who you see in number one and number two, but you don't really know much about him. Like, and I assume unless you read the lore and kind of like maybe gone into the animated shows. But yeah, it's it was cool to kind of like see maybe his background, how he turns from the good side to the dark side. And I think he was Qui-Gon's master, Jedi master. So I think kind of getting that relationship and seeing how Qui-Gon comes to his more like, maybe takes a bit of him to kind of progress to his bit more rebellious side that we see in like Phantom Menace. But yeah, looks pretty cool. Hope they kind of delve into that a little bit.
Would you say that was animated?
Yeah, animated, yeah.
Fair enough. And then a couple of other announcements. I mean, there was footage from Indiana Jones 5, which is a thing, and Inside Out 2, which is also a thing. So
have you even watched Willow?
Riley is a teenager. Willow, no.
I thought the trailer for it looked pretty good. I might watch it. I might watch the original so I can watch the series.
Willow. Is it a remake or a continuation?
I believe it's a continuation into a TV series.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I thought it pretty cool.
That was D23 in a nutshell. Let us know on social media if there was anything that you were excited for, disappointed about them not announcing. You tweet us at YSCPodcast17 and we're on Twitter at Instagram as IrrelevantCritics. Let's talk about She-Hulk. So I think we've only spoken about the first episode.
I believe you're correct.
I presume we're all up to date with the four episodes that are out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So episode two, after defeating Titania, Jennifer Walters is dubbed She-Hulk, much to her chagrin. That case is mistrial. She gets fired. And then she is offered a position by GLKH to head up their superhuman law division. But they want her to be in She-Hulk form. She is assigned Emil Blonsky, a.k.a. Abomination's parole hearing, and has conflict about, you know, conflict of interest, because obviously he fought her cousin Bruce. She has like a back and forth with Emil Blonsky. He's a little bit more chill, a bit zen, which we can get into, and eventually gets Bruce's approval because he's let bygones be bygones. And he is seen on a Sakaarian ship going back to Sakaar, we presume, which may lead into Planet Hulk. That's just an assumption. So do you want to do it episode by episode, or do you want me to just summarize the other two as well and then we discuss it as a whole?
I'll be honest, not much really happens in episode two.
But what do you think about how they've depicted Abomination in this series? It's a bit like lighthearted and zen.
I mean, I don't particularly care that they've changed his like personality, really, because I don't particularly remember Hulk to the best of my ability. I do think there needs to be a bit more I don't know how to explain it, but the guy that I remember was a very fearless man who thought he was doing right by the government, who would attack Hulk non-stop, was very tactful, and then this is a bit light-hearted, not very tactful in what he does. I can't remember what your original question was, but I don't really mind how they perceive this character.
Okay, fair point. Well, following on from that, the third episode is essentially the trial of Emil Blonsky. His defense is that, that he went to fight in what we see in Shang-Chi, and Emil Blonsky says that it was Wong's fault, because Wong wanted to fight someone strong so that he can be Sorcerer Supreme. So then she tracks down Wong to try and get him to testify. He does testify, and Blonsky is given parole on the proviso that he never transforms to Abomination again. Simultaneously, there's a case involving an Asgardian elf who defrauds her ex-boyfriend by transforming into Megan Thee Stallion. That is a thing. Megan Thee Stallion was in it. She twerks with She-Hulk, which was quite funny. then She-Hulk is attacked by four men armed with Asgardian kind of technology to try and steal her blood, but she fights them off. And the most recent episode is Donnie Blaze, not Johnny Blaze, who is a magician who used to train at Kamar-Taj. He uses his powers as like cheap magic tricks, sends Madison with a Y and two N's, but not where you think, to another dimension.
Brilliant.
And she ends up at Wong's house, Wonga's, and they strike up a rapport. Wong asks Jen to represent him and to cease and desist Donnie Blaze. Then Donnie accidentally releases a whole load of little gremlin demon things, and She-Hulk and Wong have to fight them back. And then Jen learns that Titania has essentially copyrighted the name She-Hulk. So that's presumably what at least the next episode will be about. So yeah, Obi, what are your thoughts on She-Hulk thus far when we're almost 50% way through?
So I think that it took maybe a minute, but I think the show is finding its groove. I like the concept of kind of like basically the sitcom concept where it's a new case every episode. She's got to deal with something new, but also it's to do with her being She-Hulk and stuff like that. I really enjoy that. The humour, I think, maybe took me a minute to get used to, but I definitely enjoy the jokes that they make. Again, like I said when we talked about the first episode, I wouldn't call them like laugh out loud funny, but I definitely find the writing amusing. I would say, to be fair, episode 4, I laughed quite a bit with Madison and Wong and all that stuff. I thought it was actually really quite funny, so they did well in that episode. And also at the end of episode 3 with the I will say with the twerking, I saw it without context on Twitter and I was like, oh, it's a bit rubbish. But then when watching it in context, I found it actually really funny. And then after they finished twerking and she's like, I will kill for you, Meg Thee Stallion. So yeah, that was actually quite a good scene. But generally, I'm enjoying the show more and more every week. I think that Tatiana Maslany has like good comedic timing, actually. And there was another joke as well in the Meg Thee Stallion episode. I can't remember what it was, but it was when she made a joke about the guy that she hates thinking that Meg Thee Stallion drove like a Nissan Panda or whatever car it was, and that made me crack up as well. But yeah, I think that I like that the story is like progressing along, I guess, and I suppose she's kind of at the same time she's got all these cases and stuff and she has to deal with the cases, but also she is coming to terms with being She-Hulk and what that entails. And this episode was focused on her, like her dating life and stuff like that, and kind of how like it ended a bit shit for her because obviously the guy that she was with didn't like her in her human form, which I think is really fucking harsh. And then obviously she's got to kind of deal with that, so I'm interested to see if and how that progresses, and if there are other kind of like trials and tribulations of her being She-Hulk that they might expand on in the coming episodes too. And yeah, I enjoyed the fourth episode a lot. I liked Madison, obviously. She was great. Her one-liners were great, and her relationship with Wong, like those two together, were great. I would love, like, you know, they did those Marvel one-shots. They used to, like, maybe Phase 1, they used to do those Marvel one-shots, but they just focus on a couple characters, and they just do some random stories. I would love to see one for her. And even because she appears in Kamar-Taj with a flipping heart in her hand. And just drops it. And I'm like, what the fuck was she doing? So yeah, that would be interesting to kind of maybe see if they could be bothered to see what kind of she went through. And I think her character has been really, really well received. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did do something with her in the future. And yeah, I love the fact that Wong watches This Is Us, because I love that show. And
it's great. And The Sopranos.
Spoiled galore for that, wasn't it?
Yeah, mate. I never got around to finishing that, but I know now what happens. But
yeah. You and me both.
Yeah, it's a pretty good catchphrase as well. Madison with two N's and a Y, but not where you think.
I knew you were gonna like that. I knew it.
Yeah, I think characters like that can go. Definitely, it's a thin line. I think you can get those characters badly wrong, and you can get them really right, and I think they definitely did the latter.
yeah, if they introduced her or Megan Thee Stallion in episode one, probably not. Probably wouldn't have worked. We kind of
them jokes didn't really hit well with me. I didn't really find them funny.
Which one, the Megan Thee Stallion?
Yeah, I just thought it was like, all right, cool, nothing like fantastic about it.
I think, like Obi said, like this isn't a laugh out loud comedy. This isn't Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I agree.
It's like amusing, I think, is probably which the way I'll quickly describe
just, it. Just to say, Glenn, I'm rewatching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That show is fantastic. Oh my days, man. I love it.
It's so good until the last season.
I haven't watched last season yet, to be fair, so we'll see. But yeah, season two, the show's great. Anyway,
I've got to say, I thought I wouldn't enjoy the series, but it is very much an enjoyable series, and the characters I feel like you can get on board with them, but Wong, maybe the shittest Sorcerer Supreme we've ever seen.
Yeah, he's terrible. I was going to say as well quickly. Sorry, Chris, before I forget, I thought the CGI for those demon pig things, whatever the hell they were, was fantastic. And it makes me wonder why this CGI for She-Hulk is wonky.
Yeah, I was going to say, that last episode, some of the CGI in that was pretty terrible with She-Hulk, but great in other aspects. I just don't understand that your main character, you think you'd hit the nail on the head with that one, but apparently
there
not.
There was one... In episode three, in episode three, there was one point where She-Hulk was just kind of like walking into her office and someone said, this looks like a transfer negotiation scene from FIFA Career Mode.
Yeah, it does,
doesn't it? Oh my God.
It looks so terrible. Oh my gosh.
It did look bad.
And that's the thing, is it's like they make Bruce Banner Hulk look quite good now. Like they've definitely kind of, I think, nailed that design. And I think it's because he is a bit more rugged. He's got like facial lines and crow's feet, things like that. But she doesn't have any of that. She just looks, she looks really animated. Because
they made her so flawless. That kind of, they haven't done all the intricate details, I feel.
Yeah.
To that point, I actually read a thing, I'm going to lie and say I read it. I was listening to a podcast and they were talking to like some special effects people and they basically said that it's a lot harder for them to CGI women, because with men you can give them like frown lines and wrinkles and like a beard and stuff, but with women obviously their faces are like smoother and stuff, so it's hard to actually like animate them as well as it is.
That is an awful excuse to not make it look better. There must be face rendering of women's faces. You're telling me we've not seen a de-aged person or anything like that?
I think absolutely, but I think part of it is that, and also part of it is the budget as well. And I think one of the reasons they are able to do so well with the Hulk, I would assume, is that they've already done his CGI in the films, so maybe it's easy for them to just take that from the films rather than create the She-Hulk on their own with the budget that they have, if that makes any sense.
I feel like there's some questions I have about this series, and I don't know whether they'll answer them in time. Like, obviously they're going after She-Hulk for her blood. Can she actually bleed? Because Hulk can't. I know Banner can bleed, and he did bleed when he was in his human form out of choice. But can She-Hulk actually bleed? Or when she gets attacked, does she turn into She-Hulk? I need to know that.
She said in the episode Gone, when she was on a date, that nothing from this earth can penetrate her skin when she's in She-Hulk form.
But what I'm saying is, obviously, when Banner was Banner and he shot himself, he would immediately turn into Hulk and he would incur no side effects from shooting himself. Is that the same premise with She-Hulk?
Because we haven't shoot so.
Well, then, yeah, it just makes for an interesting thing. And I feel like, what was the other thing I was going to say? I can't remember now.
I think I agree with both of your points. I like the format, 25-30 minutes. I like the lighthearted tone. I quite like the procedural element of it. She's just representing a different guy each time. Little cameos here and there are nice, but I don't think thus far, I don't think the cameos have necessarily overshadowed Jen. and we're still, like you said, getting to know her personally, which is nice. I think Tatiana Maslany's good, particularly when she's Jen, like, she's very facially expressive, but her voice is also quite expressive when she's just doing She-Hulk. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
How are you guys, sorry, quickly, I just want to ask, how are you guys feeling about the fourth wall breaking?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine. They're not doing it to death. It's, you know, a lot less frequently used than Deadpool.
I feel like that they've done it well. They put it at good times, and I can't remember the last thing she asked, but I'm sure she's asking questions that some of the audience would like to also know the answer to, kind of vibe, or making statements in that light. But
yeah, she did say, didn't she, in episode 3, I think, like, oh, this is still my show. It's not just going to be like Field of Cameos, but there will be a lot of cameos.
Yeah, so except for Bruce. And Wong. And yeah. Abomination.
Yeah. And obviously Daredevil, as we know. So, yeah. I mean, she's kind of being the voice of the audience as well. And they're kind of... The writers are saying things like, yeah, we kind of know that She-Hulk's a shit name, but we've just got to use it. And, you know, so it's... Yeah, it's good. I'm not going to rank it until we've seen all of it. But, you know...
I find this show quite hard to rank, to be honest, I feel like, but yeah.
Yeah, because it's like good, but it's also not hitting the heights that some of the other series have hit, but it's also not hitting the lows. So, let's talk about episode 1 of House of the Dragon, as that's the only episode all three of us have seen. So, starts with a cold open, as Game of Thrones did. Where King Jaehaerys Targaryen is choosing his heir. He kind of bypasses his eldest grandchild, Princess Rhaenys, to choose his eldest male heir, Viserys. Not the Viserys that we see in Game of Thrones, but Viserys, whatever of his name. This series is set about 200 years before... what we see in Game of Thrones, and then it quickly jumps to 9 years later, and his wife is pregnant. His wife is, well, thus far produced females. Rhaenyra is the one that we is the surviving one, and Emma has got a male heir inside her. We see a small council meeting. There's Lord Corlys Velaryon, who is the master of ships. He has got ancient heritage, as does the Targaryens. And there's the Hand of the King, Otto Hightower, played by Rhys Ifans. There's Prince Daemon, played by Matt Smith, who's Viserys' brother. And there's a tournament, which is pretty cool. Emma is having complications giving birth to her child, and Viserys decides that he really needs a male heir, because he at this point doesn't want Rhaenyra to be given the title of heir, as she's not male. So he basically sanctions a gruesome caesarean of Emma, which kills her, but the newborn Balon doesn't survive very long, and they are both burned ceremoniously with the old Dracarys. He basically so Rhaenyra is like still heir apparent. Daemon kind of mocks the fact that he's lost his newborn son, says he was an heir for a day. He also wants to be named heir because he's the eldest male living relative, but instead Viserys banishes him from King's Landing and anoints Rhaenyra as heir to the Iron Throne. So, yeah, it was very contained in the kind of Targaryen family. But
did he also tell her about the prophecy at the end of this episode? Is this episode?
Is that when he says about the winter's coming? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, which, to be fair, they don't use until the last couple of series of Game of Thrones, do they? when Sam reads the book of Song of Ice and Fire. But yeah, so yeah, so there was a few kind of nod forwards, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I quite liked it. It kind of gave me a nostalgia of like when Game of Thrones was good. You know, there's a lot of the same themes, like recognizable surnames for some of them. You know, you hear the odd like Baratheon or Lannister or whatever, but no one that, you know, we've seen in Game of Thrones because it's set long before. I think Paddy Considine is really good as Viserys. Kind of brings a vulnerability, I guess,
Paddy? Sorry, I'm interrupting you. I just want to know what else Paddy Considine is in.
That's all right. I think there's a little bit of that. I will find out for you. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. He is in... I've definitely seen him in shit. Yeah. Let's see his filmography. This is England. No, he was right on that. Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz. Is that it? I think it's Hot Fuzz. Yeah, I think it's Hot Fuzz. I was like, he looks
probably Death familiar. Of Stalin.
Oh, yeah. That film was rubbish, but yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think he brings a vulnerability to it because, like, from Game of Thrones, we're conditioned to think that Targaryens are all mad and, like, you know, incestuous crazy people, which, you know, they are, but Viserys... This Viserys is, you know, well, it seems relatively progressive to a point his daughter is heir, I guess, you know, for the time, obviously.
Yeah.
We also see a few dragons in this. There's the seeds of, like, discontent with Corus Velaryon. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. Chris, you've only seen this episode, so what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, like, from perspective of someone who probably didn't, like, love Game of Thrones as much as you guys probably did, I actually was quite engaged and I enjoyed this episode. I don't remember all the names like you guys probably do, but, yeah, it was interesting to see. It was a nice start. Interesting to see the whole, how they chose the heir at the beginning and how the previous king was trying to basically not incite a war post him choosing as well. But yeah, it was a good baseline for the episode. Obviously, I think the CGI was pretty good in the episode as well for some of the bits I saw. I think the characters are likeable at the moment. I think Matt Smith is going to absolutely smash this from what I've seen so far.
He's a good baddie, isn't he?
He's a very good baddie. Do you know what? Like, he's a very good actor, and I think Doctor Who doesn't give him the credit that he deserves. I think the writing he had in that series didn't do him justice. But I think, yeah, I'm looking forward to this, and I do actually look forward to watching the second, third, and fourth episode, wherever we're at the moment. But it's just finding the time to watch it. But yeah, and it'll be interesting to see the precursor for the... Is this Mad King era? Or we... Is this pre-Mad King?
Mad King's just before...
This is pre-Mad King.
Just before Robert Baratheon.
Is it? Oh, okay. Okay, I thought there was something about the Targaryens that they always referenced in Game of Thrones, but maybe I'm picking straws to try and remember bits and pieces. But yeah, I think it's a solid start to a series, and it's made me want to go to watch the next one. I know I'm going to fall flat on remembering people's names from day dot, but...
it's tough to be fair, and all the names are best similar as well.
Yeah, isn't it? Oh, mad. It's like...
Oh, mate.
I don't know where to start with it all. I can barely remember season that I've, like, I actually, like, watched consistently.
We've got Viserys, who obviously we see a Viserys in Game of Thrones. You've got Corlys Velaryon... But then there's Valyrian still, and they speak High Valyrian, so it's all like,
oh, mad,
you know, similar. it's tough. I also forgot to mention, I think we see the seeds of the crab feeder in this, which is in the sand stepstones, which is like a little cluster of islands near Blackwater Bay. He is introduced as kind of like a villain who's kind of torturing people by putting crabs on them, and that's what Lord Velaryon wants to send ships there to kind of deal with, but Viserys doesn't want a war. But yeah, Obi.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you guys, to be fair. I'm enjoying the show a lot. I think it's really, it's nice to kind of have, like, excuse me. Obviously, I do like the, what's it called? The binge, like, streaming at times. But I do think it's nice to have, like, a show to kind of, like, look forward to watching every week. The one that, like, I can, after I've watched it, like, I can message Chris or I can message Glenn and say, oh, have you watched this episode? And then we can just talk about that one episode. Whereas, like, if I was to talk to Chris about Cobra Kai, for example, I've already watched half the season and Chris has watched, I think, the first episode. So, like, it's good for, like, that water cooler, that kind of, like, commentary about it, I think, which I really enjoy. Outside of, like, enjoying the actual show itself, which I am. I think that Matt Smith's character, Daemon, is going to be an interesting character to follow. And I'm curious to know if he's going to be a character that they keep on past, like, season one. Or if he's someone who kind of, like, might be one of the shock deaths. I'm hoping or assuming that we get some shock deaths in this series, but maybe we won't. But I think that he's kind of a bit like... I'm trying to think of a good comparison to Game of Thrones. I was going to say Tyrion, but not maybe not really Tyrion. But I was saying maybe like Jamie Lannister. Lannister sort of character. Yeah, there you go. See? Who you kind of like, you don't like, but also you do like. And it's just like, yeah, you kind of like love to hate him, that sort of vibe. And I love, oh, wait, no, that's in episode, no, I can't, oh, sorry, it's in episode two, I think. Don't worry.
Say whatever you want, honestly. Just, you can go for it, you go for it.
Okay, I'm going to say one line.
I watched She-Hulk about Sopranos and the spoilers in there, and I've forgotten what the spoilers were. So, mate, you can honestly say it. It's fine.
I'm literally just going to say one thing, which I think kind of like sums up his character, which I really enjoy. So like at the end of episode two, he's talking with Corlys, and they're talking about defying the king, basically. And basically, Daemon is basically chatting shit about his brother, saying they're like, he's not fit to be king, kind of thing, and stuff like that. And then Corlys starts chatting shit about him as well. And he's like, I can talk shit about my brother, you can't. And that's I love that, like, He's a dickhead, but he's like, he's dickhead, but he's loyal as well. Like, he knows that, like, at the end of the day, he's got his morals, mate. Exactly. Like, at the end of the day, he's not going to try and, like, hurt his family because he is loyal to his family, but he does want to do things his way. So, yeah, he's definitely my favourite character so far. And, yeah, I like the dynamics that they're setting up kind of, like, between certain characters, how they might develop over the season, and yeah, it's really cool, like, just being back in that Game of Thrones world. And I think enough time has passed for me to kind of forgive how much of a decline there was over the final two seasons, I would say, to kind of like come into this fresh world. They haven't got Benioff and Weiss as the writers, so you think, okay, let's give them a fresh start, let's see what they can do with this. With this story, I do have a couple of concerns that I kind of like expressed to Glenn, maybe just about kind of like pacing issues based on like episodes 2 and 3. A bit worried about, but I'll probably try and finalize those thoughts when the season's finished, I guess, to see how it plays out. But yeah, it's a good start. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said. I obviously have some thoughts as well about how it's developing, but you know, not gonna spoil anything for Chris, but this series is, at least thus far, very contained to the immediate Targaryen family. We don't get the breadth of Westeros that we did in Game of Thrones, which part of me misses, but also yeah, I know that this needs to be its own series. And if it was just basically Game of Thrones but set 200 years earlier, then you know, I mean, I would still watch that, but they're trying to obviously make this its own thing.
Say it apart, yeah.
Yeah, and also we see there's more prominent houses in this that are less prominent in Game of Thrones or completely absent, such as Velaryon and Hightower. So that's interesting. Maybe to see where those families kind of lost their prestige by the time Game of Thrones hits. which I'm also rewatching, and I've just
Glenn, me too.
What will you be watching?
Rewatching Game of Thrones. This but I don't know episode 2, to be fair. But yeah, man, that shows.
Absolutely not. Not no, that ending is awful.
Episode,
no way.
Episode 10 of series 3.
I'll stop at season 6. To be honest.
Yeah, I've already watched three series, but
okay, Glenn. So you watched three seasons.
Yeah, just seen the Red Wedding.
Okay, cool. So obviously people talk about like the Red Wedding and stuff like that, and obviously that's a great episode. But I feel like no one talks about the episodes like during the Battle of Blackwater. And I feel like those are like some of the best episodes of Game of Thrones, and nobody really talks about those episodes. I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, they are. I think it's because there aren't any like shock deaths, but the battle sequences themselves are really impressive. I just think like all of the characters are just so interesting. I mean, even, you know, at the time I felt that Sansa was a bit annoying, which she still is, but I also think I appreciate Sophie Turner's acting. I think at the time I was like, she just can't act, but she's clearly acting as someone who is a prisoner and is just tortured left, right and centre, like emotionally. So I think I have more respect for Sophie Turner's performance now. But I love the interaction between Littlefinger and Varys. I just think their kind of repartee is so sparky. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, so it's nice to rewatch it whilst watching House of the Dragon.
Yeah, man. I will say quickly, House of the Dragon, season 2, I'm going to need you to sort some of the wigs out, because some of the wigs look a bit ridiculous, I'll just say that.
We'll feed that back to HBO. do you guys want to talk about the Rings of Power? Go into as much detail as you want, because I'm not likely to see it anytime soon. I don't know how many episodes are out, I don't know what it's about, so hit me.
I was going to say, I'm not going to be on much longer because I haven't had dinner yet. But I believe I've watched all three episodes. I was very tired when I was watching this. But the visuals on this, and Obi, quote me if I'm wrong here, but I think are fantastic. And they're as I expect for a £200 million series. I think that, and what I've read as well, the first four episodes are going to be a kind of baseline for the season or the series. So they're going to like set everything up, give you the household names, you know, give you a few new names, try and like set a scene, set the placement of all these different characters. And then after that, it's going to go full force into like bringing us the Lord of the Rings we like know and love kind of vibe. It's interesting to see some of the lore of some of the characters, to know the backstory of some of the characters. I must admit, I've had to ask Sarah for a few. I've been like, I know that name, who is that character? Or I've been like, I know that, like, I know the elves, I know these people. Can you give me a bit of backstory? And it's been quite interesting. The story thus far, not too much has happened. I feel we're kind of getting a map of where we're going, and yeah, it's just it's been interesting and quite historical thus far. I don't know, Obi, you go for it.
I'm in agreement with Chris. To be fair, I think visually it's amazing. I won't lie. Which makes me wish I had like a proper like sick TV to watch it on, but I don't, unfortunately. But even on my shitty TV, it still looks really good. So I think that. So funny enough, what again you were saying about House of Dragon being concentrated on the Targaryen family, whereas Game of Thrones kind of like focused on different like pieces all happening at the same time. I'd say Rings of Power is so far presenting more of that vibe. We've got like different characters or different sets of characters, which I assume will interact at some point, but like they're all kind of happening, all the stories are happening concurrently, with like different aspects of it kind of like affecting different people different ways, which I think is interesting. I'm not a Lord of the Rings aficionado. I do like the film, but I'm not like super into it. So there's probably been like loads of like references to things that I would never pick up on that certain people will pick up on. But generally, I'm interested in the story and kind of how it goes. Like the story that I'm most interested so far is the one of Galadriel, who I believe is in the films, right?
Yeah, she is.
So like kind of her thing is that like her main story is that she's like chilling with the elves and that, and they're obviously living a high life. But then they go to war with Sauron and all of his goons. And then one of the Sauron kills his brother, and basically she makes it her life's mission to find Sauron and kill him to kind of avenge her brother. And basically she is like hell bent on finding him, like however many hundred years passes, and everyone else is convinced that the threat is gone, but she's not convinced. She's like taking her expedition team and saying, no, we need to keep going because we've seen this clue, which means they're this direction and blah, blah, blah. And she basically gets told to get her team basically like turn on her, and they have to go back to the elf land, wherever the fuck they are. I love that.
Wherever they are.
What's Hugo Weaving's character's name?
Oh my god, who is Hugo Weaving?
The geezer who's in Matrix as well. What's his name? He's an elf. Black hair.
I see a drill. No, that's the lady. Is he the geezer who basically deems in Lord of the Rings that they're the guys who are going to be the Lord of the Rings?
Yes, Elrond.
Elrond, that's it. Yeah.
So yeah, he's about, obviously he's a young version of Elrond, and he's kind of like rising up, kind of like politician about him and Galadriel are friends, and he's kind of like trying to convince her to kind of like come back and kind of like let the quest go kind of thing, but she's not having it. And basically before all of the elves kind of get called back to wherever they're going, she jumps ship and basically finds another person who she kind of like make contact with, and they go off. And
aren't they going to the afterlife?
Is it the afterlife? Okay, cool.
I think that's what that is. I think. Don't quote me on that though. Do not quote me on that. Oh my god.
Thinking about it now, it seems very afterlife-ish what was happening on screen.
Because they were all like buzzing in it, because they're like,
yeah,
they've been allowed to go, and they're not usually allowed to go after whatever they did.
Yeah. So yeah, that could be, to be fair, that makes sense thinking about it. But yeah, so she's off, or in this universe as well, because obviously I think they do give that spiel at the start of Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship, where man basically turns evil because they all want to help Sauron and that. So that obviously happens in this. So the elves don't trust a lot of humans, because humans historically have supported Sauron and been his advocate and stuff like that. So they basically send other elves to like patrol Middle Earth to kind of be like, we need to make sure that none of these people rise up again. So they basically all feel like oppressed, the humans that is, they feel oppressed by the elves, because the elves are like the man, innit? They're like the police. So they're like, fuck elves. So then you've got this other character, can't remember his name, the mixed race guy, can't remember his name at all. And he's an elf, and he's fallen in love with a human woman. But like, it's like forbidden love, innit? Because obviously they're like, you know, no one wants elves and humans to be together. And that woman's son has like some sort of, I don't know, weapon or artifact that I assume belongs to Sauron, maybe, or one of his soldiers. I don't know. And I think because of that weapon, they get attacked by some sort of monster. And basically, they kill the monster. And the woman has to convince her whole village to pack up and say, let's fuck off, because the orcs are coming back, or whatever the hell they are. So that's the other side of the story. Then you've got the... I'm going to say the hobbits. They're not hobbits, I don't think. I think they're halfwits. I'm not really sure what the difference is. But they are just, you know, chilling. They're like live in secrecy kind of thing from the giants, as they like to call it, which are just regular humans. So they're on like a little harvest thing when some random man pulls out of the sky. And this girl, I think her name is...
Who do you think that random man is, Obes?
Gandalf?
That's who I think it is as well.
Okay, yeah, that was. Yeah. I only guessed that because you asked me who you think. I didn't think of it until you.
Literally, either Gandalf or Sauron, but it looks more like Gandalf to me. So.
Okay.
How much before Lord of the Rings is this set?
Well, elves live for ages, so I'm actually not 100% sure. I'm assuming it's about 100. You think it's thousands of years?
I reckon it's thousands, yeah.
How old's Gandalf then?
Gandalf very old, isn't
he? Yeah. Okay. Gandalf's like a special being, though. He's not like human.
So on Wikipedia, it says set thousands of years before the events of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, you've got characters who are in both.
Yeah.
Would you have preferred...
Oh, Gandalf. Gandalf's physical... Do you want to know how old Gandalf is?
Yes.
Gandalf's physical age is 24,000 years old, according to Gandalf himself.
So yeah, this could be years before.
Fair enough.
Oh, right, mate, his son is fuming. He's like, I want to be king.
Galadriel, but then this is pretty...
How we can relate that to real life.
Galadriel's about 8,000 years old.
So, I mean, would you prefer this to have been entirely new characters rather than, hey, this is a character that you know, but they're just a few thousand years younger?
No, I quite like it, to be fair. I would have been happy for new characters because I don't really know the lore of Lord of the Rings. Like, I just know Lord of the Rings. But the fact that I can actually pinpoint some characters actually makes me think, oh, they had a backstory before this. This is interesting. But do I care either way? No. But do I like what they've done? Yes.
Because presumably you know where they will end up. Particularly Sauron and that.
Go on, Hobbs.
I suppose technically, yeah, you're right. But just to answer your earlier question, I think I'm in agreement with Chris. But for me, because I'm not a super Lord of the Rings guy, but I do enjoy those first three films, I think it helps to kind of have characters to be able to relate back to the films, which I know that I like. So I think if it was all brand new characters, I might have been maybe a bit less interested, I think. But the fact that there's people there, I'm like, oh, okay, at least I know who this guy is, kind of thing. So I'm not totally lost, because there is, I would say it's quite dense, the first episode at least. I think it's quite dense, and the pacing is quite slow. So I think if I had one criticism, it would be that kind of, like, it's a bit, maybe around the 45, from like minute 40, 45 to the end of the episode, it drags a little bit. But I think the second episode is paced a lot better and stuff actually happened, which is good. Yeah.
It's actually like, because they were talking, there's like an area they go to in, I think it's episode two or three, where a guy brings the elf person he saved back, and that this area just forbids elves.
No major spoilers, please, Chris.
Oh, sorry. Have you not watched episode three?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay. I'll stop there then. That's fine.
So it looks good.
Yeah.
Is it style over substance thus far, or is it like, you know, there's meat to the bones?
I think there is a lot of story to be had because they're not focusing on one lot of people, they're focusing on several. It's almost like Lord of the Rings, when they all split up to do their own thing, it's that already, we're already at that stage. So you've got the elves, you've got the people who aren't called hobbits yet, but are hobbits. You've got, you see the bag, you see a bit of bad guys, or there's like a pathway for people to find. You see the different, races of people and how they lived compared to others and how they don't like each other. So it's very political to this point. And it's just an interesting story at the moment, because obviously it's all mythological and stuff. It's like not based on anything I know. I find it quite interesting. But when you see the scenery, it's very much like, it's very awesome. Like, every detail is very well done in all the scenery. I think you'd find it hard to find a flaw. So I think the scenery aside, the substance is there. I think it does drag, like Obi just said in the last episode, it does drag a little bit. But as I said at the beginning, I think they are just setting a baseline for the rest of the series. And I think it'll take three or four episodes to do that. And then they'll go bang right into it. There's actually a part of episode three I look forward to talking to you about, Obi.
Okay.
I mean, they've got time, haven't they? Because they've committed to five seasons already. So.
Yeah, I don't actually know how many episodes are in each season, though.
eight.
It's eight, I think.
Okay, so it's basically two seasons of like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Or two and a half.
I was going to say as well that I think that in a similar way to, I suppose, Game of Thrones, season one of Game of Thrones, me, from a personal experience, I found it kind of a similar experience to this. Like, there's a lot of locations, a lot of names, a lot of kind of like, I suppose, affiliations with different characters that I like, where I don't quite understand the relationships yet. So I think, but then once you, like Chris said, once you lay that groundwork after maybe three or four episodes, then you can kind of get into like the, you know, the good bits of the story, which I think Game of Thrones did really well. And I'm hoping this story does as well.
When you go to rewatch it, you think, oh, okay, I get that now. You know, like episode one or two, you think, oh, okay, I get that a lot more now that I've seen it all and I'm going back to watch it. So, yeah, I guess that's the thing with Lord of the Rings and even Game of Thrones, because obviously Game of Thrones had five books to work off, so they were probably already knowing they were going to have five or six seasons with Game of Thrones. That's the same with Rings of Power. They can take their time, whereas I guess there is source material that House of the Dragon's based on, but it's nowhere near as much as Game of Thrones. So
yeah,
two season thing.
I was gonna say, I believe Tolkien's grandson, I think, is a executive producer on the show as well, which is
good. Oh, is he?
I think so. I think it's his grandson, or maybe it's great grandson.
All right.
But yeah, that's, I think that's a good sign.
Well, we haven't actually spoken about any films for a while. It's been a lot of TV content recently, but we'll continue up to doing like reviews of Rings of Power, House of Dragon, She-Hulk, Andor when it comes out. Do also check out our Instagram for reviews. So there's a review of The Invitation, of Hatching, which is a Finnish film, and of Beast, the Idris Elba punches a lion film. Did you watch that, Obi?
No, do you know what? This past month or 6 weeks, I've been slacking so bad with cinema. I'm going to try, and now that I don't have any distractions this week, I'm going to try and watch a lot of stuff. Still want to watch Bodies. That looked interesting.
Yeah, I'm seeing that Thursday.
Nice. I wanted to watch Beast, but I think it's not showing in Beckenham anymore, I don't think.
It's definitely a wait for it to come on streaming film.
Fair enough.
But yeah. And then, so, yeah, see how they runs out this week. Bodies. The Woman King, which looks pretty good.
Look forward to
it. Yeah. I feel like there was not a lot that came out in August, and now...
No, it was pretty slow, like, in terms of, like, big films, a couple of small ones.
And now we're getting a lot. So, yeah, utilise that pass if you still have it. Cool. Finally, just want to quickly say I've been watching Ted Lasso. The first series is very charming. Second series, I don't enjoy as much. Maybe it's because, you know, you can't capture the same
stuff.
What they do with Nathan, I think, is shit. They just turn him into a complete prick. But anyway, that's that.
I have to agree with you on that. Yeah, it's for storytelling purposes, isn't it? But it's not. You would never imagine the guy who got the assist from Ted Lasso would become the guy who's then just complete twat. But it's just a storytelling net, really. I'll tell you what, actually, carry on with Ted Lasso. What are you going to say, actually?
Well, I was going to say, I've got two episodes left of the second season.
Actually, I think I finished the second season.
I've finished it. And it's the geezer from that who's Hercules in...
In Sport.
He's there every fucking where.
Roy Kent. But yeah, I mean, his whole, like... caveman thing is just wear a bit thin.
He's a writer on the show, isn't he?
Yeah. I always think the tone is really weird because it's like a lovely, heartfelt, you know, saccharine drama, like comedy drama. But then you've also got like all the swearing and all like the sexual stuff, which doesn't match with the tone of all the lighthearted stuff. You've got like Keely being like, oh, you make me so horny, Roy. And it's like, what? Like,
Yeah, but it's because it's like an American sitcom kind of vibe, but it's trying to be a bit. It's not trying to be that, but it kind of has that vibe. I feel. I just think the tone is odd.
But hey ho, I really enjoyed the first season. Second season, not so much. But I think there's only going to be three anyway. So.
Is there?
Yeah, because Jason Sudeikis has apparently got other commitments. But yeah, I mean, hopefully it comes out soon so I can watch it before my free trial of Apple TV expires.
Nice. I was going to...
Chris...
yeah, go.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, if you wanted to talk about Cobra Kai quickly.
I've only seen the first episode, so okay, that's up to you, mate. That's up to you.
No, it's all right. Don't worry.
Is it... Because the first episode makes me think I'm not going to like it as much as the other seasons. I feel like they're going to make it too serious. And I hope
I'm going to say I don't think they'll make it that serious, but I will say that I don't think you'll like it as much as the other seasons. I've watched half of it, so that's based on that. Because we're quite similar on it. I don't like it as much as previous seasons, so I feel like you probably won't as well, but I might be wrong.
If we pod next week, I'll have it all done by pod next week.
That is a big commitment.
Nah, it's not Cobra Kai, mate. Nah.
Yeah, you can breeze through Cobra Kai.
Yeah, it's the only reason I haven't breezed through it so far is because we've got so much other stuff coming on at the moment. So it's just like, yeah.
Okay, well.
But I'll tell you one season I think we should all watch. It's the Welcome to Wrexham one. I think we should all watch that because I think that is so interesting. And I did not know that stuff about Wrexham as well.
Yeah, I'm up to date with it. So when it's finished in a couple of weeks, we can review it as a whole. And it kind of feeds into that whole football documentary thing anyway, but it does it differently to All or Nothing. So yeah, well, next time we pod, we will talk more about those TV shows and Chris will have seen all of Cobra Kai and he'll give everyone that listens to this 20 quid if he hasn't. So please do follow us on social
media. That is not available contract. Anyone who tries to claim that at a later date.
Yeah, T's and C's may apply. So please follow us on Twitter at YFCPodcast17. We're on Instagram as Your Average Critics, and you can find previous episodes on Spotify, Apple, or wherever. Until next time.
Peace. Keep it sexy.